Tony Romo getting arrested for operating while intoxicated and arguing with officers on body cam is the kind of story where the facts speak pretty clearly. Romo is 46. He is one of the most recognized names in NFL broadcasting, and the body cam footage apparently shows a sustained argument rather than quiet compliance. The CBS Sports dimension is relevant. His broadcasting contract is worth roughly $17 million per year, and CBS has dealt with similar situations with other talent before. The league's sensitivity to conduct issues at the broadcast level has grown since the Ray Rice case, even though Romo's situation involves no violence.
The Gavin Newsom affair story in Vanity Fair is politically timed in a way that is hard to ignore. The Aide published the essay now during what is effectively Newsom's 2028 positioning period. The contents, if the reporting holds, detail a relationship that Newsom will have difficulty addressing in a way that doesn't cost him either with his base or with voters who prioritize character arguments. His warning to consumers after GM's Mary Barra introduced Trump at a Michigan rally suggests he is trying to stay on an economic populist message. But the Vanity Fair story cuts directly across that narrative.
The Mamdani Pied-à-Terre tax database release in New York is genuinely interesting as a political maneuver. The new mayor put out a searchable database of second property owners who now owe the tax, which conservative commentators immediately used to identify progressive celebrities, Anna Wintour, Cynthia Nixon, who had publicly supported Mamdani and now appear on the list. The irony writes itself, and social media is doing what social media does. But the policy underneath is serious. The pied-à-terre tax on high-value secondary residences in New York is expected to generate several $100 million annually for housing and transit.
The whistleblower probe of Dodgers owner Mark Walter's financial empire is a story worth watching without overstating what we know. A federal probe was sparked by a whistleblower inside one of Walter's investment vehicles. Walter is one of the wealthiest owners in professional sports. He has ownership stakes in Chelsea FC, the Dodgers, and multiple other sports franchises. The nature of the alleged conduct hasn't been confirmed publicly, but a federal probe triggered by an internal whistleblower suggests the concern is about internal financial conduct rather than external regulatory violation.
The Elon Musk fortune giveaway story, where he hinted at potentially giving away his wealth after an economist challenged him with a $1 trillion public good calculation, is a story I want to treat with appropriate skepticism. Musk has hinted at charitable pledges before, most notably the giving pledge, and the track record between hint and delivery has been inconsistent. The economist's challenge was that even at a 5% annual return on $200 billion in assets, Musk could theoretically distribute $10 billion per year indefinitely. Musk's hint is not a pledge, not a structure, and not a timeline.
And the VC who rejected a Trump crypto role, Nick Carter, publicly saying that Steve Witkoff didn't know what crypto or DeFi was during a 2024 pitch for World Liberty Financial, is a small window into how these crypto-adjacent political appointments are being constructed. Carter's account, published in New York Magazine, describes Witkoff as not understanding the basic product he was pitching. Whatever the accuracy, it feeds the narrative that the Trump crypto portfolio has been more about political proximity than technological competence.
Now I want to do something we do in this final content segment: step back from confident claims and ask seriously whether we might be wrong about one of them. And the claim I want to examine is the one that has the most consensus behind it today. The JP Morgan thesis that the AI stock sell-off is a buying opportunity driven by summer liquidity rather than fundamental doubt.
It is the most confident claim in the market conversation right now. Camporeale made it explicitly. Multiple other strategists have echoed it, and the underlying logic, patient capital buying dips in transformational technology, has a good historical record. So what is the strongest argument against it?
The first counterargument is that the sell-off may be pricing in something that the optimistic camp has not fully accounted for, that AI's economic value is real, but is being captured primarily by AI developers and chip manufacturers, not by the enterprises deploying AI at scale. If enterprise customers are not generating productivity gains that justify AI subscription and infrastructure costs, the adoption curve flattens, not because AI doesn't work, but because the ROI math doesn't close at current pricing.
The second counterargument is today's OpenAI news. If a major AI model hacked two external companies, even in an ambiguous way, even without clear intent, that is not a summer liquidity event. That is a safety signal that could trigger regulatory action, customer churn from enterprise contracts, or both. The policy environment that those three companies are lobbying to shape before August 1st may not be shaped the way they want if the week's news cycle is dominated by an AI hacking incident.
The third counterargument is the Chinese model dominance story. If Chinese LLMs are capturing 60% of global routed traffic and that trend continues, the revenue model underpinning USA, AI valuations, subscriptions, API fees, enterprise contracts, faces structural competitive pressure that has nothing to do with summer trading volume.
So if we're wrong about the buying opportunity framing, here is the specific indicator to watch. Enterprise AI contract renewal rates in Q3 earnings reports starting in October. If large enterprises are renewing and expanding contracts, JP Morgan is right. If renewal rates are flat or declining despite all the investment, that is the signal that the sell-off was pricing in something real rather than something seasonal. Watch the enterprise renewal numbers, not the model releases, not the chip prices, the contract data.